Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Please welcome. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mooch, you there?
Yeah.
We noticed it was the 20th anniversary of Tom Brady being drafted today.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And we wanted to wish you a happy Giovanni Carmazzi Day, Steve.
I hate your guts.
We turn to the phone lines right now, and I could not be more thrilled and honored and pleased and happy to kick off my Peacock launch here today on NBC Sports on Peacock, as well as NBCSN and a handful of radio stations, along with SiriusXM Radio, with the 8-time Super Bowl winning coach, 6 times with the New England Patriots, and also the only member of the NFL 100 all-time team to be a member as well of the Emmy Award-winning broadcast. He is none other than New England's Bill Belichick. How are you, Coach?
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate the intro. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to do that show with you and Chris. That was a real highlight of my broadcasting career, but really a highlight of being in the NFL. It was an awesome experience. Well, thank you. Congratulations on that Emmy nomination for us.
Well, look, man, and thank you, and congrats to you on the, by the way, words I never thought I would ever say to you, but congratulations on being Emmy nominated as an analyst. Coach, did you have a speech all written out just in case? Do you have anything written down on a piece of paper?
No, I didn't. I would have had to wing it. But it was, you know, just such a thrill to do that. And, you know, for the recognition that the show got, it was great. Really, it was a lot of fun. Really fun working with you and Chris.
Thank you. Right back at you. I know I only have you for a few minutes, and I'm greatly appreciative, again, of you doing this. I want to ask you a couple questions about what's going on right now in your football world. Is there anything that you've learned about Cam Newton over the first few weeks of having him in your program and on your team that you didn't know about him, Coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've learned a lot about Cam. I never really had much interaction with Cam. And then when we signed him, we, you know, had some phone calls and WebEx meetings and stuff like that. But, you know, being with him every day, he's an extremely hardworking player. You know, first guy in, last one out type of guy. He really studied hard and tried to he has spent a lot of extra time trying to learn our offense and our communication, our calls and nomenclature and so forth. So, yeah, I've been very impressed with that. And, you know, he's done a good job of picking it up. He's a very skilled athlete. And, you know, we're just working through it day by day. We have a long way to go, but we're taking steps. And we've got a very competitive competition at that very competitive position at the quarterback spot. And so it'll be interesting to see how everybody does.
And, you know, we in the media were kind of left scratching our heads as to Cam Newton still being available for all 32 teams to go get, or I guess 31, figuring that Carolina had already moved on from him. What caused you to go get him, Bill?
Well, just kind of what you said, Rich, is that he was available. And we wanted to, you know, add competition. We always try to add competition to our team, and we felt like we'd be able to do that. He was very open to talking about and working with our situation. We're able to work things out, and so we'll just, you know, take it day by day and see how it goes. But, you know, I'm glad we have him, and look forward to continuing to work with all of our quarterbacks. But, you know, Cam's been a lot of it's been fun to work with him. He's got, as I said, a very unique, and he's a very talented player with a unique skill set. And, you know, we'll see where it all goes, but he's got a lot to work with.
A few minutes here of Bill Belichick, New England Patriots head coach, right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock. Obviously, every coach would like a player's life decisions to be made in the construct of a football life, to use the phrases that Julian Edelman, one of your wide receivers, used just today, saying, in my life, every decision you make is according to your football life. Not all players have that mindset, as you know, but in the world of COVID-19, you pretty much have to mandate that. How have you expressed this to your team in this unique 2020 training camp, Coach?
Well, I think on our team, Rich, it's really been a collective team effort. I think all the players, all the coaches, all the staff members, we all realize that we're in this together, for ourselves, for each other, for our families. And if any of us makes a bad decision, there could be, we know there can be consequences for not only ourselves, but all the people around us and vice versa. So I think that the players have taken a very serious and diligent approach to doing the right things. And I feel like we've done the right things. Organizationally, we've made a big commitment to doing the right things here in terms of, spacing and keeping things clean and distancing and so forth, and all the things that we can do. And I'd say every day or a couple of days, a lot of times we'll come up with something else that we can take another maybe protective step. So I feel like we're all doing all that we can. And when we find there's something else we can do, we implement that. The players, the coaches, the staff, everybody's really embraced that. And I think we're confident in each other's commitment to the team. And really, that's not something that you can really instill in somebody else. I mean, if they don't want to do it, then, you can only take that so far. They're not going to commit to it. But if everybody buys in and that's the way they genuinely feel and they take those disciplined steps to make the right decisions, then we feel like that's our best chance. We've gotten great leadership from a number of our veteran players, like Devin and Jason McCourty, Matt Slater, David Andrews, James White, so forth, right down the line. And I think some of the guys that maybe weren't sure how seriously we were going to take this have jumped on board and followed suit with the approach that we've taken, in the entire organization, but specifically with the players. So, we address it on a daily basis, but I wouldn't say that it's me saying a lot. I think it's more the team collectively all being on the same page and wanting to do the right thing.
Last question for you, and then I have a brief request before I send you off to the rest of your day, Coach. If you could change one rule in the NFL, wave a wand, and it's the Belichick waving of the wand, and the rule gets changed in the rule book, what would that be?
Oh, boy.
There's a lot. I could hear the wood burning. I could smell it.
No, I mean, look, I think we have I think what we all want is just consistency. And I know that that Al Riveron and his group are certainly, trying to get that out of the officials. Nobody wants, one call to be one thing one week and something else the next week. And I think they've done a good job of that. I think probably the one thing that is worth looking at is just the college pass interference rule. I know why it's what it is, and I also know why it's different in college, and you could argue both sides of it, but I mean, it's a big penalty, and it's, sometimes those are just tough calls. So I think that's worth looking at. I'd just say in general, Rich, I would be in favor of the NCAA and the NFL trying to consolidate the rule book where we can have as many rules be the same as possible so that the fans as well as the players who come from college can, make a clean transition into, the same set of rules instead of, different ones. So, targeting's targeting, holding's holding, interference is interference, and so forth. So as much as we could do that, I would be in favor of that just for the overall quality of the game. But I think the pass interference rule is not necessarily one that I would change, but I would take a look at it, and I think it would be good if it was the same as the college rule. Either they change it to ours or we change it to theirs. just from the standpoint of consistency.
But you'd want 2 feet down, though, in the pros, though, for a catch, right? Not just 1 foot.
Well, again, I think whatever it is, it's, you know, whatever we – I would like for us to agree on that with the colleges so that it – you know, again, so the fans don't get confused between, you know, what is and what isn't. And, you know, the rule book's so long and complex as it is, sometimes – you know, the coaches don't even understand all the rules, and even officials make mistakes on that. So the more we can simplify it and make it consistent, I would be for that.
Well, in conclusion, Coach, you were kind enough after our very absurdly long two-day shoot for the NFL 100 All-Time Team Show, stay a little bit after class to shoot a video to promote the upcoming broadcast. You even, you know, delivered the line perfectly about snap face or my face or whatever it was that I asked you to say. So I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind giving me an audio drop, which is something that we will record and then use from now on for my audio executive, if he likes to be called, Mike Del Tufo from New Jersey, a fellow boat owner, I might add, as well. If you wouldn't mind saying, Mike, do your job. That would be great. Would you mind?
Mike, do your job. I don't even know what an audio drop is. So I'll leave that to you.
Well, you stuck the landing, Coach. That's good enough. That's great. I appreciate it. I appreciate the time.
Always, Rich. Great to talk to you. Have a congratulations on a new show. Look forward to hearing, to listening to it, and to catching up with you down the road. Have a great year. And, you know, again, it was a lot of fun on the NFL 100. I'll never forget those 2 days.
Me too. Me too. Right back at you, Coach. Best to you and your family. Thanks for the call. That's Bill Belichick, New England Patriots head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You guys are the bomb.
Okay, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, I've never spoken to this man, but I've my entire, I guess, teen and adult life have been waiting to thank him for all the fun moments that he gave me, from the Naked Gun trilogy to Police Squad, which I remember all six episodes before ABC, for some reason, decided to cancel it. And of course, Airplane, the 40th anniversary of the classic film Airplane, is being celebrated by a re-release by Fathom Events at select theaters throughout through September 9th, and will be airing at select drive-ins across the country through November. David Zucker, the writer and director, joining me here on the show. How are you, David?
I'm good, and thank you for thanking me.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I think I need to be thanked, because it was a lot of work, and I'm glad someone appreciates it.
Surely you're joking, David.
Oh, I've heard that one before. Thank you, though.
I'm sorry, I just had to go in that direction first.
It was like... You probably missed the record of how long it took for anybody to mention that. But I love it.
Well, David, let me start by asking you, Leslie Nielsen, why him? How did he wind up on your radar screen? And thank God for him, David.
Well, you know, Leslie was the fourth choice. We had gone to three other actors who were more well-known, Vincent Price, I think, Efren Zimbalist Jr. I mean, nobody remembers these guys now anyway.
Well, no.
Leslie was the guy who was in the Poseidon Adventure, and we went to our casting director at the time for Paramount after having cast Stack, Bridges, and Graves in a comedy, and he was already, you know, feeling a little weird about that, that he was going to be responsible for, his name was going to go on this huge bomb, and we said, now we want Leslie Nielsen, and he just exploded. He said, Leslie Nielsen? Leslie Nielsen is the guy you cast the night before, and we were already, you know, we were a month away from principal photography. So we ended up, he got it completely. He told his agent, don't tell these guys, but I pay them to do this movie. So he was perfect. He, you know, he's a closet comedian, although he had never been in a, you know, quite this kind of zany comedy before. But he was a fish in water.
Well, I met him once, David. He had a whoopee cushion on him, David. He had
right. And, yeah, people ask me, you know, did people have a hard time, you know, keeping a straight face because, you know, all the jokes are funny and everything. But, you know, the jokes aren't, you know, after you rehearse them a million times, it's not that funny. But people were cracking up over Leslie's whoopee cushion, which he would do it right in the middle of somebody's line. And that's what he did. And he did it on talk shows. He was legendary for that.
And I was telling a story before, David, in the segment before Police Squad. It was six episodes in 1982.
Right. Where he couldn't cancel it fast enough. And that was
why? What happened?
When there were only three networks. So, you know, it's Tony Thomopoulos at the time was the he was the president of ABC, and they were giving him a hard time at a press conference after he canceled it, because, I mean, a lot of people did like it. And he said, Police Squad didn't work because you had to watch it. So it was just, probably maybe not right for TV at the time. I think if it were put on today, it probably would do a little better.
Well, I mean, and of course, Lieutenant Frank Drebin was born, and then three other films coming out of it. But I do want to linger on Airplane a little bit, because obviously Leslie Nielsen is the through line. You mentioned Robert Stack and Peter Graves from Mission Impossible.
Right.
And then you got Lloyd Bridges as well. Did you have to twist his arm to sniff glue and hang upside down?
No, he was game. You know, yeah, and Stack was hard to get for the part, too. He was skeptical, but once he signed on, he wanted more jokes. And I think Lloyd got used to it also. I mean, at the beginning, I mean, in the table read and some of the rehearsals, he wanted to change his lines. He was trying to make sense out of his lines. And we were getting a little exasperated, but Stack came in and said, Lloyd, just keep talking. They're not listening to us anyways. He was going into the wall and watermelons, you know, crashing into a desk behind us. Just keep talking. So he did get it. And I think by Hot Shots, he really was good.
Well, I mean, did any of these guys, I guess they understand that some of their work was the joke. Some of their previous work you were trading off of.
They did understand it, and it's really to their credit that they agreed to make fun of themselves. I mean, they all got that that's what they were doing.
David Zucker here on The Rich Eisen Show, writer and director of Airplane. 40 years, I cannot believe it has been that long, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And then who came up with the idea to cast Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as Peter Graves' co-pilot? David.
Well, you know, that was just a lucky accident, because we had originally conceived the idea with Pete Rose, but it was summer and he was either coaching or playing with the Reds, and so he wasn't available. And so we went to Kareem, and we were able to do much more with Kareem, because, you know, we did the whole, you know, to the extent that he was controversial, and we had the kid call him on it, and there again, he was sending up his own persona, and I think he, up to that time, Kareem had this image of being, you know, maybe surly and aloof, and but we found him to be just quiet. I mean, he was a perfectly nice fellow, and very, you know, very happy to be doing the movie. But it completely changed his image, and suddenly they saw him. I mean, you know, when you laugh at yourself, it's such a token of goodwill, really. And so for the rest of his life, he's really been known, you know, a lot for airplane. Certainly when he told us whenever he travels on a plane, they always want to bring him up to the cockpit and take a picture with him.
And then, again, the Walton and Lanier line, you tell his dad, you know, have them drag their ass up and down the court. Did he ad-lib that, or
was everything was written. There was no ad-libbing allowed, you know, in this. But, you know, Jerry and I were, that's my brother, you know, we didn't know that level of detail about basketball, but Jim Abrams, the other part of the triumvirate here, knew it intimately. And so that's one line I know that Jim wrote. Because, you know, he was, you know, very into the whole, you know, controversy, the Lakers, the Bucks, you know, because we were from Milwaukee, and we followed Kareem on the Bucks in 1971.
So that's how Lanier wound up in there. It's a Milwaukee connection.
Yeah. Walton and Lanier. I mean, I guess evidently Kareem played against those guys for 9 years. Or
yes, indeed.
I still don't know, but yeah.
No, I totally hear you. So Pete Rose was originally supposed to be with Peter Graves.
Pete Rose, and I dug up some old script.
Please.
And, oh, my God.
Can you please tell me?
It was not even a fraction as funny as it was with Kareem.
Do you got any good lines that you wanted Pete to say? Do you got any?
No, I mean, it was just like, I know you. You're Pete Rose. You're the, you know, whatever he played for the
Big Red Machine. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And that was it, pretty much. And then we, you know, when we got the movie to Paramount, we couldn't get Pete Rose, so we cast Kareem. And then we thought, so far back, I can't remember who thought of the idea, but we thought of, you know, really developing the whole controversy, or, you know, people accused them of not trying and et cetera, et cetera.
David Zucker here on the Rich Eisen Show, writer and director of Airplane 40th Anniversary. So, okay, there was no ad-libbing, huh? None?
No, the script was very, well, this was the type of comedy that all came from behind the camera. I mean, it was almost it's like the Uberization of comedy. We took the skill positions out of it, and so instead of needing Kevin Hart or Jim Carrey or, you know, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase in their day, we just hired straight actors. You know, OJ was not a comedian either.
Right.
Of course, he came later, but. We just hired all these straight people, and those lines would not have been as funny if they had been said by a comedian.
And then, of course,
so even something as simple, you know, these dumb puns that we did, like Shirley, you can't be serious.
Right.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. You know, would not have been funny said by Harvey Korman. I mean, it would have been maybe half as funny.
Well, I mean, and then, of course, you know, another line that has lived on forever is, I just want to let you know, good luck, we're all counting on you. I mean, and just saying it when everything's over.
Right, and then I even did that in Scary Movie 3.
Right.
Leslie played the president in that, and he comes in and says that line. It's a little nice little callback.
And then, I mean, again, it's just, and then the sense of humor where just saying things that are out of touch because the moment's over and you're not aware. The Robert Stack soliloquy talking to Stryker when the plane has already been landed, talking about municipal bonds. And
right, I mean, we were doing as if Elliot Ness had talked down the plane. We wrote it over 5 years.
Right.
Because we couldn't get anybody to finance it. You know, if you can imagine, we were going to studios saying, we want to do a comedy without comedians, and there's going to be, and we have to direct it, and there's three of us. You know, so they said, thank you very much, you know.
And then move on. Look,
and
I know,
move on,
and
yeah.
I know we're talking about David Zucker here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know we're talking about Airplane, but I do have to ask you about the Naked Gun. When I broadcast for NFL Network, I did a game in London with three other guys in the booth, Steve Mariucci and Kurt Warner and Michael Irvin. It was a four-man booth. And the number of times that I got on Twitter and other social media, the shot of the booth from the Naked Gun of Mel Allen and Dick Vitale and Dick Enberg and Dr. Joyce Brothers, you know, like that whole booth that you had put together. How did you come up with that idea, and how difficult was it for you to get every single person calling that game?
Well, because they started having more and more of these announcers, there was so many. So we did, you know, nine of them plus Dr. Joyce Brothers. There's always, you know, you can always go one step further,
right.
And you know, we always wanted to try stuff, and that was that gag, and it worked. It just worked, and I got to meet Mel Allen, and all these guys, and I think Dick Enberg was on it.
That's right,
and Tim McCarver.
That's right.
Was he in that, or was he was in basketball?
Well, yeah, they don't bleed together. But I just see all those announcers, and then of course calling the big moment where Reggie Jackson must kill the Queen. That is truly one of the most fascinating moments in the history of cinema. I will say involving Mr. October. You know, that was great. And then
And Reggie was great, and I later used him in basketball. So.
Well,
it was a really great script written by Jerry and Jim and I and Pat Proft.
Well, and again, I you have to excuse me. I am fanboying out here because Enrico Palazzo, played by Lieutenant Frank Drebin, played by Leslie Nielsen, undercover to try and foil the plot of the killing of the Queen on behalf of Ricardo Montalban, I might add. The scene, the montage of baseball and sending up baseball was spectacular. And seeing any umpire basically do anything other than call a ball and strike normally, I think of the breakdancing and the moonwalking Enrico Palazzo. That was fantastic, David. Where did that one come from?
It was a marvelous idea to do a baseball game, and it was just, I mean, once we hit on that, and in every movie we figured out what was the love story between the boy and the girl in any movie that we did, and then what is the third act, that final third act, and this was just, the baseball game gave us such a great opportunity to do gags. It's just, I mean, we could have done more. We were limited by time, but... Yeah, I'm just so happy that it worked out so well.
And then, of course, I love L.A. being part of that whole montage.
Right.
And that's what the Dodgers play after every win these days in the stadium where everything obviously was foiled by Enrico Palazzo.
Way before they ever did that. And the Dodgers, they were much stricter in those days, as you know.
Okay.
So they wouldn't let us say that it was the Dodgers. That's why we had to use the
Angels.
The Angels and the Mariners. I mean, they just didn't want any part of because it may tarnish their image. And those, they didn't allow beers. I mean, nothing, So.
Well, maybe they saw George Kennedy stick all that food down his gullet during that montage, David, and they didn't want it associated with their stadium that it clearly was to all
right,
of us sports fans.
And, now that I think of it, we wanted to use Vin Scully. Because he was our favorite of anybody, and the Dodgers wouldn't let us do that.
So Vin would have been next to Dr. Joyce Brothers
in
Naked Gun?
Yeah, Vin would have been right there. But, you know what I've always wanted to do?
What's that?
Now that you mention it, I mean, I've always wanted to do a bit, and I want to do a bit with Vin Scully, and it would be Kirk Gibson's at-bat.
Yes.
And just do that at bat, and then have Vin Scully announce it, and just announce it, and then, but in between a story that he's telling about Vin and his wife having dinner with Kirk Gibson and his wife, and just some story, and then it's over the wall. It's a home run. Well, we'll be seeing you tomorrow night.
Right.
Just do a not. Man. Just ignoring the drama of the whole thing. I've always wanted to do that. So.
Oh, man. Last one for you, David. I literally could do this all day. How did you get Al Michaels and Bob Costas to read that script in basketball?
It turns out everybody wants to be in a movie. So, they all want to be in a movie. So, and I think Costas was a fan of the Naked Guns. And we gave him the script. Oh, well, I don't think he read the script. That's the thing. That's what happened. He thought it was a PG-13 Naked Gun. It turned out, you know, basketball was a little bit more rude than that. And when he saw it, I think he was appalled. And you know, and cast us. We had a joke. I don't think I'd ever do that again. Show anybody something, you know, after a few previews. But there was one thing where Costas was saying, and everyone is on their feet, and then we panning the stands, and then we get to the wheelchair section, and he says, "Well, almost everyone."
Oh, my God.
And he said he asked me to take that gag out because, you know, his mother was an invalid and in a wheelchair. So I did, but it didn't get a laugh anyways in the preview. But I wish I had kept it in anyways.
Well, at least the part about a certain part of his chest made it. So that's still.
I know, which he was absolutely mortified by that.
Mortified and appalled. That could go up on the marquee.
And we put it, you know, this is how we do it in the movie business. We put the best gags in the trailer. You
know, oh, my
come
word.
To the theater. And so, and he said, did you have to put it in the trailer? You know, like, yeah. And I said, we won't put anything in the movie that doesn't get a laugh. I mean, I say that to any actor. We won't let you bomb. And we test the movies, and we just don't want to hang out anybody out there to dry. He evidently interpreted that to mean I will cut out anything you don't like. And that's, I absolutely would not do that, except for, you know, the wheelchair section.
There you go. At least you did that. Hey, David, thanks for the call. I could talk all day, but I parked in a white zone. So, you know.
Thank you. Yes. So they're releasing it all over the country with, I think you can go to fathomevents.com.
Yes.
And they're showing it on Netflix, and it's a big re-release.
And you got a basketball league? You're forming a league of basketball?
That's a TV show that I'm pitching.
Okay.
I'm pitching it, and that's in the works. And I want to do a real basketball league with, you know, 10 teams in major cities and do everything, you know, every cliche of major league sports I want to do in this show.
David, that sounds like a blast. Yep. I'd be all in on that for sure. Thanks for the call, and
okay,
thanks for the
sure.
laughs. Thanks for the laughs, really.
Okay, anytime.
You got
bye
it.
Bye.
Thank you. That's David Zucker. And for those who are wondering, the white zone is for unloading and loading of passengers.
The white zone is for...
Vince Scully and Dr. Joyce Brothers are here. Oh, my God. Your phone calls and we come back. That was fantastic.
Hey, folks, let's talk about NetSuite right now. America's ready to get back to work. Boy, do we know that. But to win the new economy, look, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. And with NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need. All in one place, whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. Now, receive your free guide right now. 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. That's netsuite.com/rich.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm one of our favorite guests throughout the year, and he's entering his 13th season in the National Football League. The quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons and one-time MVP of this great league of ours, Matt Ryan, back here on the show. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having me on, man.
Always appreciate you coming on. This is just a weird world that we're living in right now. What has it been like for you getting ready for this season? No preseason games, protocols left, right, up and down, young kids at home. Matt, what has this been like for you?
You know what? It's been different for sure. I mean, I think everybody would say that the last 6 months have been a whirlwind, and definitely, you know, have taken some adjusting to. I think camp, you know, going in without preseason games for sure is the biggest change. I mean, it's been, you know, this is year 13 for me. So it's been, you know, 13 plus years since I've gone into a season without, you know, knocking some of the rust off with these preseason games. So that part has been difficult. You know, I got to give the NFL credit. I got to give our organization credit though. They've done a really good job of you know, taking care of the players, making sure everybody's safe, and trying to do the best they can given the circumstances. So, I'm excited we've made it to this point. We're about a week and a half out, you know, everything is looking like a go. So I'm excited about that.
Me too, Matt. You know, I mean, obviously nobody has the answers. Nobody. You can only figure out what's best and try and get through it. But here you are. You're with the you and the Falcons are getting set for your opener in just a couple of Sundays from now against Seattle. And this looks like it's going to happen. What do you think? I'll ask you the question I'm asking veterans and young players alike when they've been kind enough to call into this show. The chances. Do you like the chances of getting through 17 weeks with no delays? And obviously nobody has the answer, but based on everything that you know and the conversations that you've had with your teammates and your teammates have had with you, or you might have had with other players around the league about being safe when you're not at work, do you think you're going to get through 17 weeks uninterrupted this season?
You know, I certainly hope so. I think it's been a positive that, you know, I guess I've been testing every day since July 23rd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our numbers have stayed low. And so I think that part of it is, you know, definitely, you know, one that would, you know, lead you to be optimistic. I think as we begin to travel and there's, you know, different games, obviously there's external factors that are there that currently aren't there. But I am optimistic. You know, I guess, you know, by nature I'm that way, but I think guys have, you know, are making the sacrifice to be as safe as possible when you're outside the building and being as responsible as they can be. So from what I've seen so far, you know, I really have no reason to not be optimistic unless, you know, things change. And we don't know if that's going to be the case, but right now, as I sit here, I feel really good about it.
Matt Ryan here on the Rich Eisen Show. How has Todd Gurley looked up close and personal to you?
It's been impressive. You know, I got to spend some time with him in the offseason. We put a little work in on the field, and I was blown away by how professional he is, how smart he is, you know, his ability to recall information, you know, really quickly. But the most impressed I've been was we had a scrimmage at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last week, and it was the first time kind of the lights went on, and it was, you know, kind of a little bit more of an atmosphere. He's got a gear that he can kick into that was impressive to see, and not all guys have that. You know, some guys have the ability to just take it to another level when, you know, the lights come on and it's time to go live, and he certainly did that last week, which impressed me, and, you know, I'm excited about it. I think he's going to be a really – really good fit for what we do offensively, and a nice piece to us scoring points.
Now, obviously, we all know what Todd Gurley can do. And 2 years ago, for me to follow up by asking, well, what can he do in your offense? Like, how does he fit in your offense? It would have been a silly question 2 years ago, right? But sure. I can't get an answer. Couldn't get an answer from anyone from the Rams or anybody about why we sometimes saw him on a stationary bike, or why the 25-touch guy showed up every other 3 weeks. He looks healthy to you? He looks like Todd Gurley to you, Matt?
Yeah, he does. You know, I can't speak for you know, any of the stuff that, you know, was going on before here. I can speak for, you know, the last probably 3 months that I've been able to kind of get to see him on the field. And he has looked like he has progressed and continued to get better the entire way. And he's looked great during training camp. He really has. So he looks healthy to me. He's looked, you know, really good running the football for us, catching the football for us in practice. And, you know, I'm excited about what he can bring because, like you said, I mean, his production, you know, throughout his career has been, you know, incredible. And so If we can keep him healthy and keep him feeling good, I don't see any reason he can't be as explosive as he's ever been.
Matt Ryan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is this the toughest of NFC South you've seen in your Baker's dozen years now in it?
Well, it didn't get any easier this offseason.
Well, I mean, what better? I'm just trying to find an eventful way of saying, hey, Tom Brady's in your division, huh? Like, I can't just... Yeah. That's basically what I tried, Matt. I just tried it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no question about it. I'm going into year 13, and I'm like, I'm one of the young guys in the division, right? Like, just kind of hit my prime.
It's like Cocoon. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. These are two guys I was watching, you know, in high school and college. So
that's right.
It's kind of funny that it's shaking out that way, but it's going to be tough. There's no question about it. But you know, I feel good. I feel good about our team. I think, you know, we're probably flying under the radar a little bit, and that's okay. I feel like, you know, we played some good football in the second half of the season. We had, you know, some good wins on the road, which is great experience for some of the young guys in our organization. And I'm hoping that, you know, translates into a fast start and a successful season for us.
Did you just play the nobody believes in us card a little bit, very quietly?
No.
Did you just play that card in that conversation?
I wasn't saying nobody believes in us. I'm just saying we probably haven't been getting as much attention as some of the other teams in the division. That's all.
Well, I guess, okay. I guess I might have twisted a little bit right there. But
they're your words, not mine.
That's true. Okay. What you mentioned Breeze, Brady, obviously, and the way you guys started last year, that might be why people are not looking at you more. But the way you guys finished last year, I mean, that was pretty damn impressive. How does that work from one season to another? Because that was significant with your coach's job flat out on the line. And the teams that you beat at the end, including the ultimate NFC champion and damn near almost Super Bowl champion. I mean, how does that work from one year to the next, Matt?
Yeah, you know, I think last year was as strange a season as I've been a part of. To have the first half of the season go the way it did and then the second half of the season to play as well as we did, you know, I've never really been a part of something like that, and so that part was unique. I think we were playing some young guys, like on our offensive line. We had guys like Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom, you know, playing a bunch for us in the second half of the season. Chris got hurt in the first game, and then didn't play until the last four games of the year. And I think, you know, I think for young guys, you know, it's important to learn how to win in this league, to learn how to go on the road, to learn what it takes. How disciplined you have to be, how well you have to execute. I think those are the things that carry over. The experience of what it takes in order to be successful. I'm not sure necessarily the momentum, right? That doesn't carry over, but the lessons learned do. And that's what, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I mentioned those two guys, but we have young players across the board at wide receiver for us, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, who played a big part of our second half of the season. All of those guys were, you know, it was a learning experience for them, and it should be a confidence booster that the, you know, their routine and their schedule and their mindset was right the second half of the season, and to continue to do that as we move forward.
And in terms of just the way that you finish up this year, and I don't know if this was COVID related, to make sure that if there was anything that needed to be pushed back, at least the end of the season would be played. You do face the Saints and the Bucs, both times you face them, all after your bye. Week 11 and 13 is the Saints, and then week 15 and 17 is Tampa with the Chiefs in between. I guess you're going to have to bring last year's finish to this year, too, with the Chargers and Raiders in the mix, Matt.
Yeah, no question. The second half of the season is loaded. So
serious.
And the first half is, too. So you know, the good part of division games late is it gives you a chance to, you know, to do what you need to do in division at that time of the year. And hopefully, you know, the good teams I've been on have been the ones that get better as the year goes and start peaking at the right time late in the year. And hopefully that's the case for us because we're going to need it. We're playing good football teams at that part of the schedule.
Let's have a little fun with Matt Ryan before we send him on into his Atlanta day. Chris, ask him the poll question right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's Keanu Reeves' birthday, so Chris Brockman
came
Matt, out with this one.
What's the best Keanu Reeves movie, okay? Here's what we got. Point Break, Speed, John Wick, or The Matrix?
I think The Matrix. What is the poll result saying?
Yeah.
Point Break's pretty good too.
Okay.
Okay, so we're almost at 6,000 votes. The Matrix is at 33.7. John Wick's at 33.5.
Wow.
Neck and neck.
All right, I'm in the majority then. That's good.
I gotta admit to you, I've never seen Point Break.
Matt. Oh, old school. That's worth an after. I mean, with COVID this last 6 months, what have you been doing?
I've been doing this show, but I guess, you know, what have you seen in your quarantine? What have you been doing? What have you seen?
Oh my gosh. I mean, we've kind of crushed Netflix. It was tough. I'm a big sports fan.
Okay.
And so, you know, and my wife is as well. And so our typical, you know, TV watching is sports. And so, when everything shut down, it was like, oh man, what do we do? And so we definitely crushed a lot of Netflix.
Okay.
You know, which was good. I'm watching this series Dead to Me right now.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure if you guys have seen, but it's twisted.
It is that
kind of dark and funny. So that's pretty good right now, but okay. We've kind of just been hammering out all kinds of Netflix.
So what's your favorite sports movie, Matt?
Oh man, I've kind of gone down a rabbit hole a couple times watching some of your YouTube stuff when you have the actors on and you're going through, you know, some of their, like, all of the talk about A Few Good Men.
Sure.
I've been down that rabbit hole with you talking about the other actors.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Excellent.
Favorite sports movie? Oh, man.
I've got a suggestion for you, Matt. Did you ever see this?
It's got to be The Natural, right? I think you're going that way. Robert Redford.
He's so great in it.
It is good. We had that on VHS when I was a kid growing up. I used to watch it all the time.
So you relate.
I can relate to it. You teed that one up perfect.
Rich, you got to move on.
That was the last time, Mike.
I know, but...
And you cut out, he told him telling me that I love you, but you got to move on. You cut that part out.
Do you remember that, Chris? I don't remember that part.
I don't remember that part.
Lost.
I was so sneaking in the back door and you saw it coming. That's why you got your head on a swivel professionally. So that's why you are who you are, man.
Well, maybe year 13 is the year it gets going.
Matt, I really tried, Matt. I tried to get him to lay off and do it straight.
Yep.
I have done it straight. I told you it's a great sports movie. What's wrong with the Natural?
He is relentless. I got to give it to him. It's a good quality to have, too. You are relentless.
Matt, thanks for the call. As always, always appreciate our time together.
You're the best, guys. Take care.
Right back at you. That's Matt Ryan. Smart enough to go down a Rich Eisen Show YouTube wormhole as well. Hey. We have all the actors who have been on this show talking.
We have had quite a few.
Well, Kevin Pollak, Noah Wiley, Kevin Bacon, and Rob Reiner, the director.
Yeah.
We've matched them all together, and they've all, in some way, told the story of when Jack Nicholson did the "You want me on that wall, you need me on that wall" speech, and it's all great.
Yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
Kevin Pollak's story in particular has gone viral on YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show.
We post that at Rich Eisen Show right now.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com.
Ananobi, catch and shoot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, let's just spend a couple minutes with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm a big fan of his work and appreciate his calling in. Critical Thinking opens in virtual cinemas, VOD, and digital today. The star and director of this film, his feature film directorial debut. Critical Thinking is the name of the film. John Leguizamo here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, John?
Maybe don't hurt yourself saying my name.
You know what? I should have been more hydrated for that, John. But
you do.
Normally,
you
I stick the landing a little better than
water
that.
For that long ass vowel name.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling into the show and congrats on this film. Before we get to that, I do want to talk a little bit of sports with you. Are you a Met fan? Is that a true story?
Yeah. You know that I'm from Queens, Mets.
Okay.
It's so sad to lose Tom this week.
Yep.
Tom Seaver. you know, painful. I have some baseball cards from back in the day, three of them still left with me from, you know, in the shoebox underneath my bed and whatnot.
Jay?
Yeah, Mets fan, big time.
So does that make you a Jet fan too, John? Because they used to play in the same stadium and we're of the similar age that those usually get connected.
I wanted to be Mets, Jets, and Nets,
right.
But I can't. I can't. I'm still a Knicks fan, regardless of Dolan and whatever he does. you know.
Well,
I'm Jets.
All right. Okay. So, what are your memories of Seaver, John? What are your memories of Tom Terrific, who passed away at 75 this week?
Wow. I mean, mostly baseball cards. I gotta be honest. That was mostly my thing, was flipping those baseball cards with Tom Seaver, and, you know, everybody fighting for the Tom Seaver card, you know.
Of course.
Remember, you used to have to flip them on the ground, and whoever's colors matched, you took the pile.
I totally remember
I remember that.
But I would never flip Seaver. I would usually say, here's Ed Cranepool. You know, I wouldn't want, you know. I'd usually do that. That would be, or Jerry Grody, his catcher, usually would be the one that I would flip, because Tom.
But you must have had a lot of bubblegum money, because I didn't have that much bubblegum money. I had whatever I had.
Bubblegum money. I love that. That's fantastic. Your film, Critical Thinking, opening today in virtual cinemas, VOD, and digital. Tell everyone about it and why you decided to take this up as your first directorial gig.
Well, you know, it's a true story, an incredible true story of five Latin and black kids from one of the toughest neighborhoods in Miami called Overtown, Liberty City back in the day, who became champions of Miami, then regional champs all over the state, finally state champs, and eventually United States national chess champions. True story. This teacher, Mario Martinez, I went to Florida and met with him, fell in love with the guy. I mean, he was all in, unconditional, about as much as he would do everything for these kids to get them to win a prize, because they were talented, gifted, intellectual. But their schools were defunded. You know, there's no trickle-down economy. That doesn't exist. That's BS. Let's face it. And they didn't have supplies. They didn't have money for the class. And this teacher, with the kids, raised all the money himself and got them to be champions of the United States.
And a true story again from 1998.
Correct.
And it's just, again, it's a beautiful story. I had not heard of it, to be very honest with you. I had not, I did not know about this. What did you learn?
No, I didn't either, bro. I got to be honest. I didn't know about it either. It came to me, it was offered to me to be the protagonist, to star as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then they offered me to direct it because they saw my passion for the project. And obviously, it wasn't based on my chess skills, thank God, because I wouldn't have got it.
Right.
Because I'm an amateur dilettante, that's for sure.
Nice.
But, you know, I had the real guys. They're about 40 now. And I had them on the set every day and at rehearsals. And I said, you know, if it looks like we're faking it, you know, like in some movies you see, like, people playing baseball and, you know, the way they hit that bat, you know, it doesn't look real. I didn't want that with the chess, because there is a certain swag and a certain...
Like what? Walk me through the chess swag, John. What's the chess swag? What do you have?
Well, you got to be able to throw it down with three fingers, and it's got to land. You got to fling it, and it can't top. It can't topple over. It can't lean on the other guy, on the rook, or on a knight or a
really?
Bishop. It's got to just land there, and then when you want to crush somebody, you grind it into the plastic board.
That's the swag that you're talking about. I did not know that either.
Oh yeah, dude, it took hours because my boys were trying to do it, and the pieces would fly across the room. They'd miss the square, and I was like, my brothers, you're going to make me look bad. You're going to make yourselves look bad. More than that, you better carry a piece with you all day long and just slam it 100 million times till you can do it without looking.
So again, it's funny how you say that. You know that this is just like any, I guess, in a way, sports movie, that you don't want to have anybody who's an aficionado of the sport say that doesn't look real. What is your favorite sports movie, John Leguizamo?
Hoosiers.
Attaboy. I love it.
I don't know. That movie gets to me.
That's it.
Every single time. It was Dennis Hopper's comeback. I don't know. It's just, it killed me.
We had the director of the movie, David Ansbach, on a couple of months ago, John. And he told me, I said, what was it like to get Gene Hackman? Did you have to twist his arm to do the movie? He said Hackman on the set thought the movie was going to be a total flop.
Oh,
and,
no.
I know. And that the scene, if you remember the montage where things are beginning to cook well for Hickory and that Dennis Hopper's on the bench with Hackman and they're laughing, David Anspach said that the scene, that he kept that in the that in the movie, not knowing that the reason why Hopper was laughing was Hackman said to him as they were rolling that after this movie comes out that they're going to have no careers left. I don't mean to ruin it, but
I love cynical stars like that, man. I love that.
That's what he said.
You got to talk trash about your work. You can't take yourself so damn seriously. You know what I mean?
Sure. So, what do you get the most, John, when you're walking around?
It depends. You know, I could tell about a lot about you by the movies you pick. Like my LGBTQ community always says, Tu Wong Fu, Chichi Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. My hoodies always say, you know, Carlito's Way and Empire. Italian people don't get mad at me for Carlito's Way. They're like, hey, why'd you have to kill Pacino? He was going to get away. And I'm like, hey, it's not a documentary. It's a made-up movie.
Okay.
He's still alive. You can see him anywhere. And all the cinephiles always go Summer of Sam, Spike Lee's flick.
Yeah, that was something else. What about House of Buggin', John? What does that say about me if I say that?
I get some love. You know, it's always like people in their late 20s, early 30s who remember it, you know, barely. But they go, oh, man, I wish I still had that VHS.
I love it. Hey, John, I appreciate the call. Congrats on Critical Thinking.
Oh, thank you. It's a big hug.
It's a beautiful movie. Everybody should check it out. Virtual Cinemas, VOD, and Digital. Critical Thinking. John Leguizamo, the star.
Yeah, stay healthy and safe for me.
Right back at you. The star and director of that. That's John right here on the show.
Hey, it is Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, among other NFL-related podcasts, the former NFL offensive lineman, and yes, we are going to have an NFL season. It is here, thankfully. So, if you want to bet on the games, it is the Even Money Podcast. If you just want to play fantasy football, Fantasy Feast Podcast, or every day your NFL fix, the aforementioned Ross Tucker Football Podcast.